You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and welcome once again to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and/or services that can help you build your business. Leading to business success. Today, we are joined by David Schultz, a professor at Hamline University in St. Paul, Minnesota, where he has taught business, government, and nonprofit ethics for the last 15 years. David is also the author of more than 30 books and 100 articles on various aspects of professional ethics, and he has done training sessions for hundreds of organizations, including Fortune 500 businesses. David, certainly a privilege to have you a part of Enterprise Radio today.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So what is unique about your approach to teaching ethics?
Well, what I do is two different things. First, for the last 15 years, the school where I teach has an MBA program, a nonprofit program, and a business, and a government ethics program. And I throw students in from all three programs into my ethics classes, and I'm exploring a couple of different questions. First, I'm trying to figure out if there's any difference in ethics across the public, private, nonprofit sectors. Do the people in business have a different ethical code than those in government versus nonprofit sector? And so it gives me an opportunity to sort of talk about the commonality and differences in ethics across disciplines, across rather economic fields. But second, I'm very fascinated about a different question. Is the relationship between our own personal ethics, our own personal character, and the conduct that we have at work? And the way I phrase it sometimes is by asking the question, are the values that we practice in our private life the same values that are necessary to be ethical in the conduct of our business? And that produces some very interesting discussion and observations in my classes.
Yeah, I bet it does. Now, you have taught business ethics, like you mentioned, for 15 years plus, done training for hundreds, if not thousands, of organizations, including Fortune 500 companies, as mentioned earlier, and have also written on the topic. As a result, what have you learned about the state of professional ethics in America?
There's a couple of different things that we've learned. First, I think the most important thing is that we seem to be setting a higher standard of conduct now than we did 30 years ago. We have more and more organizations that do ethical training. We have more ethics codes, more rules out there than we ever did before. And does that mean that we're necessarily more ethical than before? Not necessarily. I never thought we were that bad to start with. I still think it's the 98-2 rule. 98% of us are trying to do our best, and there's a 2% out there that are causing all the problems, and we've got to deal with that 2% in terms of our rules and regulations. But what I've learned more importantly, though, is that it's not a situation where it's bad people who do bad things all the time. I mean, clearly, when we think about people like, such as Bernie Madoff, for example, we think he's got to have been a bad person to have defrauded all these people. But what I've really learned over the years is it's how good people making small daily mistakes, or it's that one small step, it's a slippery slope, that we go from acting ethically to justifying our behavior. And so we may say that, well, gosh, the reason why I didn't get that raise is because the boss didn't like me, or the reason why something happened is because they were out to get me, and therefore it justifies my behavior, maybe taking money from business or acting unethically or whatever. So it is what I'm more interested in is the question of how good people wind up doing bad things, or how good people in good organizations go down a slippery slope and eventually do unethical things. And that's what I think I've learned mostly about ethics over the years. It's good people are capable of doing bad things too.
And so why do good people in organizations do bad things?
Is exactly for a couple of reasons. One is exactly for the reason I just mentioned, which is that it's the slippery slope. There is this great book all about by Cynthia Cooper called Extraordinary Circumstances, and she talks all about the fall of WorldCom back at back in 2002, and she talks all about how it was those small steps. It was when WorldCom no longer was able to make its bottom line to show profits. It started to cross the line. It said, for example, well, just this quarter, let's maybe fudge some of the numbers so that it looks better, so that our balance sheet looks better. And who's going to be upset by that? We'll get our bonuses. The shareholders will be happy. Everybody will be happy, and we'll make it up next quarter. Next quarter came. It didn't happen. Next quarter happened. Didn't happen, and it got larger and larger. And so it's the slippery slope. That's one. And then the second thing I think I've learned over time, and what we've learned about why good people do organizations do bad things, it's really sort of what's called administrative evil. It's the sense in which we as workers or even as middle managers will say, well, I'm not responsible. Somebody at the top is responsible. They're making the decisions. And so we wind up passing the buck to somebody else. So a combination of that passing the buck to somebody up higher and the combination of going with that, the slippery slope, put the two together, and that's the recipe for good organizations and good people doing bad things.
Today we are joined by David Schultz, the author of more than 30 books and 100 articles on various aspects of professional ethics, and he has done training sessions for hundreds of organizations, including Fortune 500 businesses, and you can follow him on Twitter at Prof. D. Schultz, and he's joined us here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Mr. Schultz, is there a difference between our personal ethics and the ethics we practice at work?
There's clearly a relationship, and certainly it's not the case that at work everything is just about our personal ethics, or by that, the rules that we apply in terms of right and wrong, or the values that we apply in our private life, have a relationship, a connection to what we do at work, but they're not identical. We can have situations, and I talk about this in my training sessions, we can have situations where people are good in their private life, ethical in their private life, but maybe horrible people in terms of the workplace or vice versa. So what we try to talk about when I do my training sessions is that connection, that most of the ethics codes that we'll see out there use the words like integrity and honesty and or fair play, whatever those terms may be. And they're never really defined in those ethics codes. And in some way, shape, or form, all these codes that we have in the workplace presuppose somewhere along the line our mothers taught us, and I say this facetiously, our mothers taught us well, that we learn what's right, what's wrong. We learn some basic values in our private life. And so there is some connection between our personal ethics and our professional ethics, but it's not an overlap. In the workplace, there are certainly some things that we can't do that we might be able to do in our private life, and there is additionally probably other rules in our professional capacity that we have to follow that are not guiding us solely in our personal life.
So how do we make ethical decisions in a postmodern world?
Well, first let me define the postmodern world. The postmodern world that I talk about in my training sessions and in class is in a world where not everybody thinks about ethics in the same way that you or I do, or in general, not the same way that we think everybody should. So we live in a world where we have evidence that men and women think about ethics differently. People across races oftentimes have different judgments across class, across cultures, across religions. We basically live in a world where we have so many different standards of conduct now, it's very difficult to figure out what's right and wrong. And for businesses that are operating in an international environment where they see many, many different codes of conduct, different expectations, that's the real challenge of a postmodern world. And what I try to talk about is that the first thing that we have to understand in terms of making ethical decisions in that postmodern world is to understand the fact that first, we don't have the single correct answer, that there may be multiple correct answers across the world or across the globe, and that what we have to do is be attentive to those different perspectives. But having said all of that, I oftentimes tell people that the core way of starting to make ethical decisions, even reflecting all those differences across the world, is to really ask three questions when making decisions. The first question is to always ask, what are the core values of your organization, and with that, the mission? And if you can't say that a choice that you're going to make furthers those mission or values, don't do it. Second, look to the question of relationships. How do the choices you make affect the key relationships with your stakeholders, however you define them? And again, if it doesn't positively affect your stakeholders, don't do it. And then the third question is to ask the one of, what's my own sense of personal integrity tell me? And if you And even if you think that something is good for you, but it's not good for your organization, don't do it. The question is always, what furthers the values and mission of your organization? And I love this test because what it forces us to do, what it forces people to do, is make a distinction between what you consider to be your own self-interest versus the self-interest, or rather the organizational interest of your profession or of your company. And that should always be the first thing we think about. What's in best interest of the organization and the values that it represents.
Good stuff. Great information and a great topic as well. Last question. What do you say to organizations when you do ethics training for them in terms of how they can promote ethically healthy environments?
There's no one silver bullet. Anybody who ever tells you there's a single silver bullet or solution for anything in life is too simplistic. I tell them that it's a lot of different things. It's first, it's setting the tone at the top in terms of leadership, that leadership is also about ethics. But second, it's also creating a culture within an organization that makes it possible for people to raise their hands metaphorically and say, I'm not sure this is the right idea. I'm not sure this is ethical, or I'm not sure this is an appropriate thing to do. Because again, in so many organizations that slip on the ethical banana peel, what happens is that a sense of groupthink forms, that everybody starts thinking in the exact same way, and there is just no sort of tolerance or ability for somebody to question what they were doing. And oftentimes, it's that false sense of security, that false sense of confidence that you're right is really when it leads to the unethical problem. So I tell organizations, besides creating good ethical leadership, create an environment where it's possible for people to raise ethical questions. Foster the natural diversity in terms of ethical viewpoints that you have within organizations, and use that as a creative force for ethical decision making, much in the same way that you use it as a creative force for decision making across the board. That diversity of input, that diversity of perspectives only strengthens organizations, both in terms of its bottom line, but more importantly, in terms of its capacity to make good ethical decisions.
Before you go, how about telling our listeners where they can get more information on the topic and to be in contact with you online?
Well, a couple of different things. First, of course, they can contact me by email, dschultz@hamline.edu, hamline.edu. And then if you just do a Google search for me, you can do a Google search, David Schultz, Hamline University. I have a blog. It is, I always get the title wrong on it. It's Schultz's Take at schultztakeblogspot.com. And again, you can also look up some of my books on amazon.com or any of the other sort of online sources. And so lots of ways of getting a hold of me.
Fantastic. And in conclusion, what's the one most important tip for promoting ethics?
The single most important tip is, again, never think that you have all the answers and that you are ethically always correct. Always consider the fact that you may not be right, and that seek out advice from others who might disagree with you. And all my years of teaching, all the years of writing consulting, the number one most repeated mistake to unethical behavior is the belief that you are ethically always right, and as a result, you confuse your own self-interest with that of the organization. I always tell people that the starting point when organizations go bad is when somebody starts to say something along the lines of, especially as leadership, this organization can't exist without me, or my interests in the organization are the same. As soon as that happens, when people can't separate out their own self-interest from that of the organization, that's when the road to unethical behavior starts.
Very well said. David Schultz, we certainly appreciate the time spent here, and certainly you're welcome to come back anytime, and thanks for joining us today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. We've been speaking with David Schultz, a professor at Hamline University in St. Paul, Minnesota, where he has taught business, government, and nonprofit ethics for the last 15 years. And check out his blog. It's simply schultztake.blogspot.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.